D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, and David Janes here with you. It is 4 o'clock on a Monday, so we welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lea following the Commodores' 17-10 win against the Missouri Tigers on Saturday. Clark, how are you today?
I'm very well. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Congratulations on the win on Saturday afternoon. Your defense stepped up huge in several crucial moments in that game, but C.J. Hurd's fumble recovery at midfield in the fourth quarter really shifted the outlook of the game, in my opinion, and he earned the game ball in part for that play. Can you take us behind that specific play and why it was so effective?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, obviously part of the defense coordinator's job is to design opportunities for playmakers to be cut loose and to make plays, and that's what happened in this case. We've done a lot with our 7-up kind of max pressure look this year. That's become kind of a signature from what Steve's brought in that role, and so that was a situation where we were presenting pressure, and typically when we would get out of that look, we would play a four-man rush, some type of zone coverage. In this case, we actually kept the boundary safety engaged in a zone blitz. So we pressured CJ. He was able to get in the backfield. I think it kind of caught the quarterback off guard, and the quarterback was in between handing the ball off and pulling it, and CJ happened to get there just in time to be the beneficiary of the mishandled mesh point. So he ends up taking the handoff, and the rest is history. Good call, good play, and obviously a huge moment for us in our program.
MK Young was part of the New Mexico State contingent that joined your program. He averages, I think, 4 rushing attempts per game thereabouts, but as we saw Saturday, he tends to make the most of them. What impresses you most about him, especially considering he did not play football last season? And for those who don't know, how did Young spend his season away from the game?
Well, he basically he was working kind of almost like in a mission trip role with his church, and was involved in church activities. He had a few things to get done with respect to some academic stuff, and the vision was always that he would be here. It took a year for us to get him. MK is like just such a light. He's a incredible person. He has a positive attitude towards everything he does. So there's no surprise that he was able to make it through a challenging year away from the game, and get here and not kind of skip a beat with respect to the contributions he's made to this program. He's a guy that it feels like he's been here for 10 years. Just that's how well he fits with us. And as a player, he's strong. He's got a low center of gravity. So he's really got, really good contact balance. And he's shown this ability to hit the accelerator this season and to take explosive plays and make them touchdowns. So a lot to like about that. I'd say to you, he's a great player, but he's a better person and such a valued member of our team.
We're talking with Clark Lea, Vanderbilt's head football coach, coming off a 17-10 victory over number 15 Missouri. Now, Coach, you guys, it was a hard-fought battle, and Diego does what he does again and leads your team down to a game-winning touchdown. But even before that, the beginning of the game, what do you contribute to the slow start? Because it just was it more so what Missouri was doing from a defensive standpoint? Or was it some things that you guys were doing to yourselves?
Well, it's a combination. I think you have to give Missouri credit. No, it's a really good defense. I think particularly a really they're really talented on the edges and kind of through the middle of that box. And so they made space hard to come by. I thought they played hard and they played physically. And we did too. We just – there were moments where they were in position, made the play they needed to make, and they were able to kind of get us off schedule, force some punts and three and outs early in the game. I think also anytime you're talking about what we believe to be an elite unit in our offense, and the inability to get the ball moving. You know, there are some things in review of the film that, you know, maybe we saw the wrong way, or checks that we made that we shouldn't have made, or, you know, checks that should have been made that weren't made. You know, there's always things that we can learn and grow from. And so we'll do that. But, you know, a credit to Missouri. I thought they played a good game. It was tightly contested. I thought in the second quarter, we were able to get some movement going and kind of gain some momentum on offense. And then there were some self-imposed negatives there, some penalties that, one of which took us out of a field goal opportunity, and then another that I believe took us out of a touchdown opportunity. So we want to do a better job playing a cleaner game offensively, eliminating some of those penalties that are controllables, making sure we're in the right call and seeing the looks clearly. And from here on out, you know, we're going to play against a bunch of talented defenses. So there are going to be times when it's first and 10, second and 8, you know, third and 6, and we have to punt. We also need to be patient as an offense too, and make sure that we don't deviate or panic in moments where we're not moving the ball.
Do you think that's what you're starting or have learned or continuing to learn about your offense, is that they have the ability, even when they may have some self-inflicted wounds, so to speak, they still manage to stay the course? This team doesn't panic. Is that something that you've been learning and continue to learn about your team? Because like you said, it's only going to get harder as you go.
Well, honestly, it's something that we've been really intentional about growing within our team. So I think these are things that we've spent a lot of time on since January 7th. Just this is the psychology of winning, and it's learning how to not chase emotions in the game, and learning how to have a great vision for what success looks like on Saturday through the week, and let that channel your energy and preparation. But by the time we're heading to the stadium, we've thrown that vision out, and we understand we don't write the script for the game, but we are the actors, and we have to have the right response and the right attitude in the moment. And those are things we spend a ton of time on. And what I know about my team is that this is a resilient group that never feels out of it, and also doesn't feel entitled to a perfect performance. And so we're not going to be offended when it doesn't go our way. We're going to step on the field and try to do the next right thing the right way. That's just a part of our mindset and a part of our DNA, and that's what's helping us be successful, especially in a game that played out like Saturday's game did.
We're talking to Clark Lee, head coach for Vanderbilt, as they're coming off the big win. They've got another huge game against Texas coming up on Saturday. And Clark, I asked you about Diego sliding down at the one last week to seal the game. He was tackled on the one with the score tied at 10. And then I think there was a timeout right in there. But I was wondering your thought process. How close was it? Because I'm sure you guys were probably doing the math in your head to doing the drill where you milk the rest of the clock and then kick the field goal on the last play. I'm guessing that was weighed, but probably not the move that was the right move.
Certainly. So we were playing through all those scenarios, and I think it had Missouri had one timeout left and not two, that would have been viable. Now you still would have returned the ball to them with a little bit of time, but there's a point at which that time becomes negligible in our mind. You know, if it's inside 20 seconds or inside 30 seconds and they don't have timeouts and you have a 3-point lead, I think you like your chances there. So we were kind of talking through all that and just kind of figuring out what was the best tactic in that situation. Obviously, with two timeouts, it wasn't viable if there would be too much time left on the clock. And so, you know, we were going to score 7 points and we were going to defend the field with the defense and felt good about our chances that way too.
One thing that I notice a lot, I'll use Diego as the example, but when I go and watch the post-game press conferences, there's two or three guys that take questions in addition to Diego, and it's been a lot of different guys, which speaks to the depth of your team and how your team is successful. There's a lot of different contributors, but they all say the same things, and they all, I think, is as much attention as Diego gets, he's very good at deferring
to his teammates, and look, they all kind of look at each other as equals. Like Diego's quote that jumped out to me was, "I'm only up here because I play quarterback." He's like, "Otherwise, I wouldn't have been one of the stars of the game." So that really looks and speaks to. It seems like you have drilled in a lot, and these guys have bought into just playing and truly loving one another and playing for one another.
Well, it's what makes a team special, and certainly, you know, we have good players, but we play a connected style of football, and they you know, they've sacrificed a lot together. They believe in one another, and they celebrate each other's success. And so, yes, I think that's a kind of a hallmark of our team and our program. You know, this isn't about one person. I think a lot of times narratives try to make it that way, and we fight against that internally here to recognize that everyone playing a role in this program matters. That might be the starting quarterback, that might be the head coach, that might be the defense coordinator. I'm not going to name every role in the program. You understand what I'm saying? certainly that extends to you know, guys that are on our service teams and scout teams and are helping us get prepared each week. And so there's a real belief that every role matters. There's a real belief that if you bring a championship attitude to the role, that a championship is inevitable. And so that's the challenge. That's the fight. That's kind of what's in front of us right now. And a credit to our team. They believe wholeheartedly in this. And I think that's what, Willie, you're seeing come across in those post-game interviews.
You've worked very hard to compartmentalize all of the attention that's starting to come, because there's a value with it. You want to use that to your advantage. But how cool was it at game day? I had such a great time. I was there at the early portion before you came in there, before I went over to the arena for the Predators. But it was such an amazing setting live. I got a whole new appreciation for that event and how big that is. But how did you try to soak it up but also still stay focused on the task?
Well, first of all, those guys are total pros, and you know, they do a great job of bringing attention and obviously creating a lot of energy, but they don't create a lot of distraction for us. I really appreciated the way they worked with us to make sure that we were able to maintain focus on the game. And what an unbelievable moment for our program, for our university, and for the city of Nashville. I thought, just again, the crowd, the energy, the attention, all of it. I thought Nashville shone through. I thought Vanderbilt University did, and obviously our program did. So really cool. And as far as, you know, soaking it up, I mean, I think you live it out. You know, I was there when I was there, and I was gone when I was gone. But ultimately, nothing is permanent. You know, it all is fleeting, and you know, we're back in our process now, but we can enjoy the energy that surrounds us right now and the attention we're getting, and recognize that it's a product of all the hard work we put into this and the belief we've had before anyone else could really see the good in what we were doing. And so it's a reminder for us to keep our heads down and stay working, but certainly it's neat for all of us to have a program like College Game Day be a part of our Saturday and to get the attention that we're getting right now for all the good work we're doing.
So is today day 293? Have I got the math right on that?
That's right.
293, which you always say, you know, we've been together since January 1st. But I guess the question is, because that is your approach to your team, is every day has the same importance. But with where you guys are, is it more of a challenge? Do you emphasize it more as you guys continue to have success, or do you feel like the guys get it to where you don't have to emphasize that as much?
In terms of the amount of time we put into it?
Well, not the time you put into it, but just you're moving into you know, a higher level of significance. There's more on the line each week, and each week that you have success, you're getting into a, you know, a different level of conversation and spotlight that you didn't have before. But your message is the same.
Yeah. So first of all, the 293 days is from January 7th. So if anyone's out there doing the math, I want to be clear that January 7th was the first meeting that we had. And we're very intentional about, I think this is interesting, in terms of what does it mean to build a team, a college football team? I think a lot of people see training camp as the beginning. And I think when I first started in this role, I wasn't too different. You know, it just seemed like that was the starting point for your team. And so we would wait to do a lot of our formational conversations around the first day of training camp or report day until I realized that, like, truthfully, and for as much time as we spend together, the formation for the teams begins in January. So you have to look at the cycles of team building different than the academic calendars. So we talk about three cycles: formation that runs January through spring practice, preparation that runs summer through training camp, and then execution that is basically your season cycle. And we do that because each one of those kind of presents unique challenges and also unique opportunities for allowing the team to take shape or take form. And when we talk about the number of days that we've been together, that there, it's just a reminder that that there are no mistakes here. All of this has been planned for. All of this has been prepared for. We set a course for the vision that we're living out right now on January the 7th. And in that, Willie, it's like it really doesn't get more intense every week, or it doesn't get bigger every week. It just is. And every game's important. Every climb's important. We take them one at a time. And on the back end of that approach, you can unlock some really cool things for yourself after the season ends and into the postseason. But until you're to that point, you know, you have to step into each week like it's the most important one. Like, it's the one that you got to win. You're going to do everything you can to play the best you can, and then you're going to learn from it. You're going to pull the learning forward.
Clark, before we let you go, I nerded out over something I heard on the broadcast, which will not come as a surprise to Willie, Derek, or our listeners, maybe even you. Bob Wischusen on play-by-play at one point during the game shared that you have shown your team clips of the Vegas Golden Knights' forecheck and Nolan Richardson's 40 minutes of hell at Arkansas to demonstrate how creating havoc can lead to success. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, first of all, Clark, I also have to know, I hope I wasn't in any of the clips of getting trapped by Todd Day and Lee Mayberry and those guys for Arkansas, because that might have been out there. May or may not have been out
there. That's right. That's good. This is more of a defensive conversation, Adam. This is like what defensive football should look like, feel like, the suppression of time and space. And I've done this, in fact, at Notre Dame, when I was the coordinator there, we would use these visuals. And, you know, like Nolan Richardson talked about 40 minutes of hell. We would say 60 minutes of hell. You know, it's not original, but why, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So, and to me, you know, sometimes the best teachers come outside the game you're playing. And sometimes, honestly, it's like a refresher because you feel like we watch so much football film. The idea that I can put a basketball game on and say, watch this team press, watch them trap the ball, watch the panic that occurs, and watch how they take defense and create offense, right? And the same on a tight forechecking hockey team. There's both a visual element of that where you're pinning a team against the boards and you're again forcing them to panic with the puck, but also there comes a point where their only outlet is just to throw it up off the glass and hope that it doesn't ice. Like, so I think at the end of the day, these are things that are transferable to our game, and sometimes it's fun to see how in sport, you know, even though the ball is different, the field's different, some of the principles actually don't change. And so, yeah, we've used those visuals. I think they're great. And specifically, I use them in coaching defensive football.
Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee has been our guest on D-Maze, Vangen, and Donick. He joins us every Monday during football season. Clark, thank you so much for your time, as always. Good luck this weekend against Texas.
My pleasure, guys. Good to be with you.
You as well. The number 9 Commodore. Ah. Say that, Willie. The number 9
say it, Willie.
Commodores.
Say it. Say
come
it,
on.
Willie.
Hey.
Say it.
Fact's a fact.
Say it.
Fact's
what is
fact.
It?
They are number 9.
Okay,
the number 9 Commodores visit the 20th-ranked Longhorns on Saturday. Kickoff is scheduled for 11 a.m. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. We will react to what We will react to what Clark had to say. We will also look back at Saturday's win for Vanderbilt against Missouri. Can we start talking CFP now? Coach Willie may have other ideas, but we're going to do it anyway. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.